Okay, hello.
Hello.
This is Kathy Kramer, and I'm here with Carol Toby, and we are conducting an interview. Carol has agreed to conduct an interview with us today. It is Wednesday, October the 19th, 2016. We're conducting this interview at First Unitarian Church. And so, first of all, thank you, Carol,
okay.
for agreeing to do this. We've talked a little bit about the questions that we're going to talk about. So why don't we, first of all, just trying to get warmed up, why don't we, I'll ask you some questions about,
sure.
about you.
Okay.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about your background?
Okay. I was born in Louisville and lived in eastern Jefferson County on Chamberlain Lane in the Worthington area, which is now all completely built out in subdivisions. But, it was potato farms then. The home church was Springdale Presbyterian Church that my grandmother and great-grandmother were founders of. So that was where I went to church as a child. When I was a teenager, the Springdale Church youth group and the Pee-wee Valley youth group merged together. And at that time, Springdale had a very conservative, older minister. The Pee-wee Valley had a kind of a young firebrand, George Edwards, and he later became, you know, really noted for civil rights. But anyway, I always credited him for making me into a Unitarian, although he was a Presbyterian. So,
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Oh.
I told him that one time, but I don't think he appreciated it much. but anyway, that he was very, very liberal and was very good with the teenagers at that time. I went to Worthington School, grade school, and then I went to Eastern High School, graduated from there, University of Louisville, and that's where Harry and I met, we met there, and we were married in 1960, fairly early on, we were able to find a lot while my husband was working. He worked in New Albany, so we happened to get across the river some, and then we found a lot in the Knobs, mm-hmm. and built a house there. So we built that in 65 and moved there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And where did Harry work?
He worked at Bruce Fox Company in New Albany.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They made plaques, metal plaques, and decorative items. So he was in the art department there.
Uh-huh.
So, and my degree is in art and graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you said that you and Harry met at U of L?
Right. Uh huh.
Yeah. He was an art major also.
Yeah, he was sculpture.
Uh-huh. Sculpture.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Sculpture. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, we had three children, Chris in 62, and Sarah in 64, and Brenner in 66.
Mm-hmm.
So it was when Chris, our oldest child, was in kindergarten. His kindergarten teacher was a member at First Unitarian Church, and so we got to be friends, and so she sort of told us about it.
And, who was this?
This was Janice Gregg was her name.
Uh-huh.
Her husband was Charles, and they were active members in the church then.
Oh, so that's how you joined.
That's how we joined, and then we started coming, and the children grew up in the RE program.
Oh, they did.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you remember some of the names of the some of the RE teachers? I mean, it's my understanding that the religious education program, they had it, and then they didn't have it for a while, and then they had it again, or I might be confusing it.
No, they always had it as far as I can remember.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we always brought the children up the long steps to, and there was
the long steps, yeah.
Yeah, really the steep steps going up to the second
uh-huh.
floor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so your first memory of the church then was coming here with your children.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming into the, going into the sanctuary part, we always, I remember George Gibson was a greeter, and he was always, you know, seemed like he was always there welcoming people. So it was a, and there's another man whose name I don't remember who greeted very often, but you know, they always made you feel welcome and go into the sanctuary. So,
and you've, I guess you can recall what the interior of the church looked like before the fire.
Oh yeah, very, very much so. Someone said that their child called it the big red rug room. So, but we did have a red carpet on the floor.
So. In the sanctuary?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'll be darned. Yeah. Well, that must have been something to keep up with.
Gosh, it must have been.
A lot of vacuuming.
Yeah. I don't think I was involved in that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So you were very involved with, over the years, with creating and maintaining and keeping track of the art in the church.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's my understanding that a lot, there were a lot of artists have passed through here.
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh. So can you tell me, well, before I forget, I noticed your maiden name is Brenner. Mm-hmm. And that is so the Brenner family lived in Worthington?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little community called Fry's Hill.
Fry's Hill,
Right, that's where they were from.
Okay, all right. And you named one of your children.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right,
Okay. Well, let's see. We've mentioned the fire. Can you tell me a little bit about what was it like when the fire happened? How'd you hear about it? And
it seems like somebody called me, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I was home, and I didn't go down to the to stand around and watch it, so mm-hmm. I really didn't see it until maybe a lot later that day. But I know I was on the board at the time, and there was a board meeting at David Leedy's house.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just very, because we had an interim minister at the time, Virginia Knowles.
That's right.
I was working at the in the art gallery that was in the library at the time. So I think that's where I heard of it. Somebody there had called me and said, your church is on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was kind of a shock.
Mm.
But
So you were working at the art library at the Main?
We had the Louisville Art Gallery. It was on the second floor. It started out as a junior art gallery.
Uh-huh.
And it was on the second floor of the library, so I worked there for quite a few years.
Oh, you did?
A few years,
Main library across the street?
Right. Uh-huh.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was on the second floor?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wow, let's see. Yeah. So that was that after the addition? Let's see, I think that was added in 69. I'm not sure. Well, it must have been, yeah, because you were. It was in the 80s when the fire was.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but I'm trying to think when I started working there. I was at the Floyd County Museum there until about 79.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked for Jefferson County Preservation for a couple of years, and then did some surveys, some architectural things, and a survey of Oldham County, and then I started working for the Louisville Art Gallery for here, and then they merged with the Water Tower Louisville Visual Art Association that was with the that was out at the Water Tower.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with them, and then until I went to the printing house and started the museum there. It was started in 92, I think.
So you have a lot of history working with and working for some pretty significant historical places here in Louisville in southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about the about each one of them or anything in particular that you'd like to mention?
Well, I think one thing that has to do with the church, after the church burned, there was, everybody was talking about different things, and they were talking about whether to tear down the ruins of the church.
Right.
And then whether to tear down Haywood House, which I guess we had bought fairly recently. I can't remember. I remember my husband working on Haywood, working up there, and they were doing stuff. He was on the house committee. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was some people in the church wanted to, get rid of the Haywood House.
Get rid of the Haywood House, too?
Yeah.
Know that.
So I was very much against that, and Gene Miller at the time was very much for. So every time he would see me, he would make these bulldozer noises. He just had to rub it into peace. But anyway, we managed to save it, which I'm real pleased with. I think it's a really architecturally it's an important building.
It is. Was it a congregational vote to keep the Haywood House, or
I think it probably went through the building committee maybe as a proposal that the congregation voted on. I know we voted to stay downtown. I mean, I think that was a vote.
Yeah.
And I can't remember in the building process what.
Mm-hmm.
But I might go back to another thing about the interior of the church.
And yeah.
I don't know whether you all have talked about this or not, but it was when Bob Reed was here, and someone gave us an organ, called a Tracker organ.
Tracker organ?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what that means exactly, whether it's a brand name or a type of instrument. But anyway, it was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really important. So we had to get it installed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there was so much talk about renovate the church to install the organ.
Yeah.
And where it was going to go and how it was be. So there was several, I don't know if we had more than one architect, but I know Jasper Warren, who was a really prominent architect, a very creative architect in town, made a plan, and it was he wanted to have the had kind of bleacher seating in the round in the sanctuary. This is the old sanctuary, and then he had entering through the York Street entrance and coming into the sanctuary, we kind of opened up inside, and then you would have this church in the round.
Really?
I don't remember where he put the organ, but that was that was the motivation for it.
Wow.
And so then it got to be so then that was a kind of a controversy. Everybody was arguing the ward plan and the da-da plan, these different ones. So in the end, George Gibson had a plan, the Gibson plan, which was simply a platform with the organ on it. Uh-huh. So conservative as we were, we ended up with the platform. So,
really?
But it would have been exciting to have this. And I think a lot of us were interested in having the
ward plan.
Right, the ward plan. So,
that meant that the front of the church, which is actually facing it's on the east. It's in the back of the church, where the back of the church is now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Where the fake wall is.
Uh-huh.
So there would have been like a rounded
seats would have been arranged in a circle you would have taken all the pews out.
Take all the pews out. Wow.
Right. And then make the church in a circle.
I'll be darned.
Be interesting if you found those plans, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty progressive too. I mean, I don't recall a lot of the churches in those later many churches did change their way their seats were arranged.
Yeah, I think there was a Catholic church in the West End that maybe did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, I know that there's a lecture coming up soon at the Filson Club that the man is doing on Jasper Ward, the architect.
Oh, really? So, uh-huh. Now, was he Mike Ward's father?
Yes.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. what I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was married to Lucky Ward?
I'm not sure.
Lucretia? Yeah, that was...
Yeah, that was his mother.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I did see...
But he was... Very creative.
Yes. So, would you like to? I mean, we are talking about the church, but then you've mentioned the printing house for the blind, and I know you've done a lot of work for them.
Right.
Uh-huh. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah,
if you'd like to.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm. It's I started the museum there, mm-hmm. printing house. Dates back to whatever, 1858.
Yeah,
I think about not getting my dates wrong here.
Right,
it's a very old organization in Louisville, and started like it was part of the Kentucky School for the Blind, but mm-hmm. was always a separate organization. So, mm-hmm. There were old machines there. There were braille printing plates there, mm-hmm. and they had all these old books just kind of stacked in the corners of the room.
Mm-hmm.
They were all tactile books.
Mm-hmm.
And before there was Braille, there was tactile mm-hmm. writing that were Roman letters that were, raised Roman letters.
Hmm.
So there were a lot of those old books. So they were thinking about doing a museum. So that's what I ended up doing, making the museum there. So
wow.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting because it's the largest institution in the United States for services for people.
For the blind, visually impaired.
Yeah.
And they had a recording studio one of the early recording studios. So we have, and they actually manufactured the records there. Pressed the records. So in the museum are old record presses and mm-hmm. Old machinery like that. And so since I left 10 years ago, it's been built up mm-hmm. and it keeps going, and they have programs there. And,
yeah.
And have added a lot to it. So it's exciting.
Well, that is exciting.
Yeah.
You've also worked. You mentioned some school for the arts and other places where you've worked.
Yeah, the Louisville Art Gallery was started out as the junior art gallery in the library,
mm-hmm.
and so it was started out as children's, basically for children.
Mm-hmm.
They always had art classes, which was on the third floor. They had the third floor studio there at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had art classes there, and they keyed the art classes to the exhibits. And the exhibits were very kind of cutting edge exhibits. They had like a how a painting grows, which showed the different stages of a painting, how sculpture grows. Contemporary iron metalwork, contemporary lace,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. some unusual crafts and things that we did exhibits on. And then the Fund for the Arts and the Fund for the Arts was kind of pushed the Louisville Art Gallery and the Louisville Visual Art Association, which was the Art Center at that time, mm-hmm. was their name.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we served completely different audiences,
mm-hmm.
and the Louisville Art Gallery had had classes for children who didn't have to be particularly talented,
okay.
whereas the children's free art classes that the Art Center gave, were people you had to be recommended by your teacher. So they served different things, but the Fund for the Arts didn't really recognize that, so they merged the two. So then I ended up out at the Water Tower mm-hmm. for a couple of years until I got on at the printing house. So
it looks like there was a you were part of a an ongoing movement to offer the arts And training and classes for everyone of all ages. And what about in, now you lived in Indiana, so it's my understanding you're also involved with the arts in New Albany.
Right. I started out as the director at the Floyd County Museum, which was now the Carnegie Center.
Right.
It was in the old library there. So and started, and there was a prior to that, there was a studio gallery, a little gallery, so I did that, took over that, and then did the Carnegie Center for a couple of years.
Yeah, sounds
so
like
I started that. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like you were always very busy.
Oh, yes.
with the kids Harry and the church here.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the church, what kind of work did you do, or did committees or anything like that that kind of stand out for you over the years that you were a part of?
I was, I think I was on the worship committee for a while. I don't really remember too much about that.
And that was while you were with Bob Reed was the minister?
Right,
okay.
And then I was on the board. I was on the board when the church burned. So, but I'm really not a great committee person.
Yeah, neither am I.
So, I did a lot when Bob Reed was. I did almost all of the order of service covers every Sunday. That was kind of my assignment, to try to do an original drawing for the order of service that was keyed into the sermon or the topic. And I did a lot of the chancel decorations too at that time. And I know in the old church, when we just had the platform, and then Bob wanted some kind of, you know, there was a table. There's no place to really put a decoration, so Harry built a screen. I know you can't see my gestures on the tape, but a 3-panel screen, and then it had a shelf that fit in it, so we could use the screen as a background, a tricolor. It was, you know, had burlap or something, and tricolors, and then the platform, the little shelf in the middle that connected, then you could put an arrangement on. So we did that one, and then. And then made a, this was just a post, a square post. I think we had some of the things from the old organ as part of that. And then it had dowel rods that went through different ways so that you could drape. So you could, you know, put that as a drape. So
okay. So, I think I've seen pictures of those.
You might have, yeah.
And speaking of Harry, it's my understanding that he made a lot of pieces before, during, and after the fire that we are still using.
Right.
And what, let's see, what did he make?
He did the pulpit.
The pulpit is beautiful.
And the chancel table.
Oh.
And then out here in the hallway, the Fowlers, Gracie Fowler, Earl Fowler, commissioned the pamphlet rack out there.
Oh, the pamphlet rack.
Yeah. And then I think he did he may have had a bench out there. I'm not sure whether that's it or not.
There's a piece in the open classroom. It looks like it's a bench, but then, and then there's a kind of a semicircle for legs that I think I saw somewhere commissioned for the church, and I don't know if he made that or not.
I can't picture it, but
he's very. Much later, he and Joe Kramer and Pete Weber, they modified the platform to include a ramp.
Yeah,
he made that.
That's right.
Too.
He made those little stairs. I think that was the last thing he's made.
With a handrail.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
So I think that was that all. Maybe there was a little. Maybe the rack for the book.
The book
that now has the quilt
The quilt binder. That's right.
I think maybe he did. Sure. But I know, you know, the main thing is the pulpit and the
yeah,
the
it's
table,
beautiful.
The table. So
it's beautiful.
So they were. Yeah.
So let's see. What can, now that we've mentioned Bob Reed, why don't we, if we can talk a little bit about him, if anything, any memories that you would like to share about Bob, his tenure here, about Jean, his wife, because those were, and they were really interesting times politically.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the church like in those days when Bob was the minister?
Well, I think there were people, Bob and Eric Tagow and you know, other people who were really active in the civil rights movement, who mm-hmm. went to marches and so we would hear about those things. And I remember there was a controversy, abortion rights controversy. This may have been later, but I think it was still during Bob Reed's time,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sanctuary movement, I do remember that Charlie Mitchell was very involved in that, and,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great disappointment to him and the other people that worked on that,
mm-hmm.
That it was voted down.
And can you tell me a little bit about what that was about?
There were other churches and places that were kind of giving sanctuary to these refugees.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you much about the history of that, but I know that a committee here, they got a committee together. They wanted to see if we should do that, and
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they recommended that that we do it. Well, then it was voted down,
mm-hmm.
And so it was illegal.
It
would have been illegal. And I remember some members saying, well, you know, I'm a teacher or something, I can't do anything illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of their mm-hmm. rationale for doing that. But they, it ended up that they said, well, we will support, I think it was St. William's that was actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually housing the refugees, and so we were to support them. Now, I don't know how we did it or whether we ever followed through,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that, I think that's the way that came out. But soon after that, Bob Reed left,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know whether that precipitated it or not, but I know he was disappointed, and some of the other ones were
mm-hmm.
disappointed that we didn't take that action.
Mm-hmm.
That and then the platform, we were pretty conservative. didn't want to take any chances.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's my understanding too that after Bob, you all were in the midst of finding a new minister.
Right.
And that Richard Beale was one of the finalists, and then the church burned.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yes.
And that didn't dissuade him.
I know. Yeah.
So that must have been exciting times.
Oh yeah.
And especially
really, yeah.
getting to know him during that
right.
process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we were meeting up over at Spalding at that time, and I remember he and Joan and Barney standing in the courtyard. You know, in the parking lot, everybody's meeting them for the first time.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
so that you met him the first time while you after the fire.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh, I guess the search committee had, you know, knew him. He may have visited for all we knew, but
yeah. Oh.
But I think that, you know, the fact that he was able to accept us at that point, I mean, that kept the church together, I think. I don't
yeah.
know whether, if without a minister, I don't know whether we would have gotten through
mm-hmm.
that process. So,
mm-hmm.
but I really wanted to be on the building committee. I really,
mm-hmm.
That was important to me, and I was elected to the,
mm-hmm.
and so that's probably been the most important, exciting experience I've had at church. It was really, it was a good experience. I think it turned out well. I'm really proud of the work we did. And Claudia Runge was a wonderful leader.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and we had Eric Tagow on the committee, who was, you know, very so practical and business oriented and, you know, knew so much. Carol Fenling was on the committee. Jerry, I can't remember what his name was, and I think Bob Ballard, and Jesse
Schreiber.
Yeah, I think he was. I was trying to. I think that there may have been other. I just can't remember. It wasn't a big committee, but I think that, and then we when we looked at different architects and went and visited some of the buildings, the different ones of them that had done. I think maybe Jasper Ward was one of those too. But I know that we really liked the Grossman Chapman Kingsley was what it was then.
So I guess all the churches that you toured, that were they all in Louisville?
I think we went to Lexington for one. I don't remember. And then for the windows, I think I was in charge. Yeah, I was in charge of the windows. So so we were able, and then we did look at different glass artists too, different presentations from different artists, and Julia Wyrick seemed to suit our needs best, and she was the wife of Kingsley, or the architect.
Who
died young, and I think he was may have been dead when she was working, but she had the connection with the architects, so but I think that she really did a beautiful job of, you know, we talked about the front windows that looked down 4th Street that, you know, wasn't a very good view. And so she made those mostly opaque. And then the ones on the side where we have the trees and were more clear glass in them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then we, you know, thought not having the color was a good idea. Just having real subtle colors so that the light from the outside and the colors outside would come inside.
Was there? It's my understanding or impression that a lot of so many decisions had to be made, and was one decision the decision not to have pews in place? Was that a big issue to instead have movable chairs to make the sanctuary flexible the way it is?
If I remember right, that we liked the flexibility early on. I don't know whether we ever, I'm sure we talked about pews, but you know, I think that the idea of the flexibility was what we liked, and I don't know whether anybody remembers or not, but they at the time we wanted to have a place for the organ in case we ever got and replaced the big organ we had. That was, you know, one of the thoughts, that we lost this wonderful organ, and whether if we maybe someday would replace it. And so supposedly the door that goes into the library, they made an extra strength area in front of that, so that if you had an organ, the organ would be hiding in that door.
Oh, really?
And you know, if you came out from there, you'd come out from behind the organ.
I'll be darned.
But you know, that never happened.
Yeah.
And we were going to have wainscoting, I think, in the sanctuary, and somehow we had done. Our funding kind of got and I think there was a bond market or something. There was something that affected the funding. We had, you know, we had enough, but we didn't. Some details we had to not do. So,
I guess you were involved, played a part in collecting and recording some of the art pieces that are around in the church. You put together that really good scrapbook of.
Yeah, I've done that. That's fairly recent. That I have, you know, that I did that to try to
keep track.
Track of that. And then we have those, you know, those old portraits from them. And some of those are quite, I don't know how valuable, but they're historically valuable and in need of restoration if we could ever find the funds. Because I know one of them is from I think it was Walker, a New Albany or an Indiana artist, one of the portraits.
So, oh, is it?
So
really?
It's a local.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
a very interesting church to look at.
Right.
And to be a part of.
It is. Well, the steeple, too, that was a...
Now, what about the steeple?
I don't know whether we had different people involved in that or not, or whether we got, whether we talked to Tom Butch from the beginning, but and maybe John and the architects, maybe they knew him too, but you know, I'd known him from, you know, sculpture that he'd done, metal sculpture and metal work, and so so we were able to get him to do the steeple.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting, the contrast to walk out into the tower room and look up to see what was left from the fire,
right,
and then go outside and then look up and see the steeple. It's very interesting.
The windows, we could only do the windows when we, you know, collected the funding. So the windows we have are done. But I've always hoped that we could get some more, because if that tower had windows were done and that tower were lighted at night, it would be so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are a couple of windows like come out in the RE area that would be interesting to have. Someone wants to give a lot of money. I think we did pretty good to get the ones we got.
They're beautiful.
And people were generous with those.
Let's see. Well, we've talked about the fire, and we've mentioned Richard and Joan, his wife. Is there anything that you remember or would like to add about any of the days when Richard was the minister here and while Joan was here?
Richard, he was wonderful. Minister had, you know, her sermons were very thought-provoking, but I remember him most for his drama. He could be very dramatic.
I know.
And we had some wonderful services that, you know, were colorful and musical and wonderful. And then we also, I can't remember, what did we call the speakeasy when we had the...
Oh, that was before my time. It's not the cabaret. That was a fundraiser.
It was a cabaret. It was more like Humphrey Bogart's
like Casablanca.
Yeah, I think that
really
was. Yes, and Richard was dressed up with his collar up and his, you know, dressed up like with a character. So I remember trying to decorate the tables.
I guess it was mostly during
Bob Reed's time, but we had very elaborate for the contributions of, what am I trying to say?
The pledges?
Pledges for the, and donations. We'd have a big a dinner, a whole big, big formal dinner, and sometimes it was a place away from the church. It wasn't, you know, wasn't at the church. It was at a place, and so we were, and then I often decorated the tables for those. So I remember one year it was One Giant Step was the theme, and so I bought some old boots from Goodwill and sprayed them white and had something in them. And then one time I had a goose, a cutout goose laying a golden egg. And right after the church burned, I think I had a phoenix. I did a cutout phoenix. And I've forgotten. Let's see what some of the other ones. But anyway, we had some, the decorations were fun, and they had skits. The canvas, that's what I'm trying to
think. Canvas, that's right.
Canvas dinners, yeah.
The canvas dinners.
Yeah, sure. So they, you know, were, you know, pretty elaborate, and and then the skits were fun. It really, you know, then part of it, So, yeah.
Have fun and raise money at the same time. Yeah.
But then, you know, we decided, I guess, that we didn't, it was a waste of money to go all out like that, you know, to entertain ourselves. And so then we got simpler and simpler. Kind of got, I don't know whether it ever got to a potluck or not, but I probably did. So, yeah. And then we, you know, kind of lost out on having any dramatic things or things like that. I know during Bob, we'd have dancing in the church.
And with Bob here?
Yeah.
Really?
And Terry Borney was a good ragtime.
Oh, he was? Oh, choir. Okay.
And so, yeah, we'd they'd dancing in the aisles.
So where would you all have the dances?
This was just, you know, maybe during a service or something.
Really?
He would, you know, play some of his ragtime and people would
get up and dance. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that reminds me that it seems like over the years there's been a lot of, there have been dancing and the music mm-hmm. is, it seems like, it's been played an important role here.
Oh yeah, it really has. And we had B.T. Kimbrough was our organist for a while, and I think that he's probably well known at the time. But yeah, we had some, and if you just bringing different people in, you know, to, especially like at Christmas time, we'd have brass and really special music.
And before I forget, just a minute ago, you mentioned the that one of the decorations that you made was during the fire. It was of a phoenix. Is the phoenix that was on the stationery and on the big platter? Is that your design?
Yeah, it's
beautiful. And we do have some copies of the stationery from that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I may have one of the phoenixes at home. I don't remember how to bring a phoenix.
And they turned it. It was turned into a banner too. I've seen photographs.
I guess it was.
Yeah, it's still here.
That was our, I guess, the logo, the kind of for the building committee was the phoenix.
So there's a lot of your work around here. Let's see. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about or share from 10, 11 years ago up till now? I mean, I know you've been still working. You've put together that binder with the photographs of the art and the description.
Yeah, I've been working with the Aesthetics Committee, which is a challenge.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. I think we were the most disliked group in the the art police. but anyway, it has, you know, it's been a challenge to try to keep people from sticking stuff on the walls, and you know, just it was, you know, like I know that we've had such a deal about bulletin boards. Evidently, it's not a big deal anymore. But when we first built the church, they wanted to use that temporary wall. We wanted to put things on, you know, that would be a bulletin board. Well, kind of tacky. It was pretty tacky. So then we built those triangular...
Oh, the kiosks.
Kiosk things, and so people were doing that. And it seems like there was something... It was like this big... Of course, yeah, the bulletin board that's in the social hall, some of us, the Aesthetics Committee, didn't want it in there. We had a painting in there, but they insisted on having that, so that was a board decision. So just trying to keep things orderly and, you know, keep and people from from doing that. I think I told somebody recently that we had so much trouble with the art in the church, and when we first from those first meetings when we first built a new church, somebody got up in a meeting and said, okay, we've got blank walls. Everybody bring in your old paintings or old art from home that you don't want. So that's what we were up against.
Oh, no.
Yes,
oh,
we
no.
Really were. Yeah.
But it is kind of hard to decide how much of the church is for the church members and then how much of the church is for the community.
Right.
Uh-huh. And particularly if you want to, you want out non-members and people in the community to maybe reserve the space
right.
and have
uh-huh.
it for their own
yeah.
event
uh-huh.
and to try to find that balance.
Yeah. Yeah, I often thought for weddings,
mm-hmm.
you just don't want to come into a place with bulletin boards and
right.
I mean, just you know,
mm-hmm.
like a school room.
Right, right.
We have lots of school teachers. I think they like bulletin boards. So.
well, it seems like it's.
So,
I think the parlor has been looking, and the library looks wonderful. And
yeah.
I think you give you a lot of credit for that
uh-huh.
gallery.
Yeah. But I think we're doing better.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know a lot of it now is because Kathy Thackeray, I think, spends so much time doing, you know, working on things, and she's chairing the committee now. She and Beverly Daly are chairing the
mm-hmm.
committee. So,
mm-hmm.
so I think things are looking better. I mean,
yeah.
there was a time when things just really went down. It was just got junky looking. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there was things stacked in corners, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and that was the time when the National Trust was meeting in Louisville, and they wanted to tour our church,
mm.
and so that's when we revived the Art and Architecture Committee at that point. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember what year that was, but I think it had gone down and,
mm-hmm.
and then got back up again. I think they merged it with the building, with the house and grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, they never quite knew what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so it got restructured and then kind of faded away, and then but then it came back then
mm-hmm.
at that time, but it really did get to it looking really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many important pieces that are hanging up now
mm-hmm.
throughout the church, in partly in credit to you, because you made sure that we kept track of it and that we people understand what these pieces are,
right?
You know, hanging up. So
Well, then we also have a collections policy, which we try to publicize, but so that people don't think they can just give us their old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's given to the church goes through the committee, and they decide whether it's, you know, it has something to do with the church, with our mission,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or something to do with someone, an individual in the church, or so it has to have some meaning for the church
sure.
before we want it,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so that's it's supposed to work like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Well, it's. I appreciate all your hard work for preserving the important pieces for the church's
yeah.
history. Well, let's see. Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Well, I think something that I have missed recently or in the last few years, we started, when Bob Reed was here, we had what we call a couples club,
mm-hmm.
and they met monthly in somebody's house, and it was a potluck thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at that time, couples were that was what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's kept on and had. Then we started with circle suppers.
Oh yeah,
that was.
Mm-hmm.
But. That faded out. So, but it, you know, it just took somebody to organize them, and there wasn't
mm-hmm.
anybody wanted to organize them. So,
mm-hmm.
so you know, but I kind of miss, you know, this being in a small group, because I realize now that there are a lot of people in church I don't know at all,
mm-hmm.
just because I haven't worked with them on a committee or done any, I haven't worked on many committees. Anyways, but
right.
but you know, but not having a chance to socialize with them, so the service auction kind of takes place of some of that
mm-hmm.
get together, but
mm-hmm.
but I think that's something I miss, and then And of course, we had that holiday fair for, I'm sure you were involved mm-hmm. in that. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was nice. But that was, again, was a tremendous amount of work for you know, people who did. So it just, mm-hmm. people just get burned out.
Mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'll happen again sometime.
Yeah,
things kind of go and, come and go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Oh, I know one more thing I wanted to ask, and I kind of skipped around here. Looking through the newspaper articles, the church used to have forums, mm-hmm. And they would have a topic, and the topics were wide-ranging, national interests, local, and they would be announced in the newspaper, and then they would be covered in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a member in those days? Mm-hmm. Would you go to those?
Yeah, sometimes it was a topic that, you know, I was really interested in.
Uh-huh.
I would go. I can't remember what we did with the children during that time, whether they must have had something upstairs for them.
Did they?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were really, really interesting. And, that would be something that would be wonderful to revive.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's, you know, an organizational thing. But they had speakers from, you know, all over the community that would, for certain topics.
So were these on Sunday?
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning,
yeah,
before the service.
Before the service.
Before the service.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Well, the Ann Miller did such a wonderful job with RE, and my children were in it all the time. I guess, you know, she was the director all the time, so she did so many creative things about it. And I just remember the last Sunday of the year, because that's when we didn't have services in the summer, so we had kind of a mm-hmm. year-end celebration kind of thing with the, and they had balloons, and then the children got plants, and they, you know, the children graduated, you know, had their Sunday school thing where each one of them mm-hmm. got certificates for the classes they were in, and so it was really, really a fun kind of thing. And mm-hmm. then they always had the holiday. She always had the holidays, then they'd have skits and different things the children would do. So she really, really some interesting and creative things that the children did. And
mm-hmm.
I remember one time my son was so excited. He was playing the trumpet in grade school or something. And so for the children's Christmas pageant, they let him go. The vestibule was on the inside of the church, and so maybe they let him climb up on there.
Uh-huh.
And he got to play his trumpet from the
wow.
And then one time they had they'd always do a Christmas, like a nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
And one time they had the little children on their hands and knees, you know, dressed like sheep and lambs, crawling up the aisle. It was so funny. It was so funny.
Yeah. Clever.
Yeah. And I think my daughter got to be Mary one time. They dressed, you know, and they walked up the aisle with the nativity scene.
Isn't that cute?
But they really did some cute things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all of our Christmas Eve services were really wonderful. We had a lot of drama and beauty to those.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I think that
I
think we've covered everything. It looks like. Unless you have something else, final words that you'd like to add.
We didn't talk about polyamory. Did you want to talk about polyamory?
If you'd like, if you'd like to, about that. I know it was a controversial time, and it was a hard time. Are there any thoughts or memories that you'd like to talk about? That debate, that was in, let's see, that was around, I think in 1995 to about, I think the first mention was 95, 98, and then went on through the...
It seems like it went on, and then mm-hmm. that was also at the time that we had to were dissatisfied with our minister.
Right.
And then,
right.
So it kind of all came together. And I guess what, you know, the thing that, since we just had the whatever we call it, we got rid of the ban on the polyamory.
Right.
I don't know what the form, mm-hmm. but I was really disappointed in that they made the people who were the leaders at that time really look bad. I mean, mm-hmm. it made them look like they were, you know, they talked about being draconian and gag orders and things like that. And mm-hmm. that board, I mean, they just worked so hard. And if they hadn't put that mm-hmm. order in, if they hadn't made that rule, the church would have broken up. I mean, mm-hmm. there are a lot of us who wouldn't have come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, they weren't given credit in that, you know, I guess that new people just, you know, didn't know what, you know, with that board and how hard they worked and how, mm-hmm. you know, it was really a difficult time. Yeah, and the thing that worried a lot of us, and I think that, you know, some of them recently, you know, didn't think it was valid, but I think that the publicity, I think mm-hmm. that we could have gotten to be known as mm-hmm. that church that, you mm-hmm. know, and if it had come out a certain way in the newspapers or some mm-hmm. way, I think it would have hurt us mm-hmm. a lot. And, you know, I think that they, you know, the people, the ones that are in leadership now, just didn't think that mm-hmm. that was a good excuse. But, you know, at the time it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the one thing that really bothered me about, mm-hmm. you know, what we've done recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think it just, you know, it they held the church together with that, mm-hmm. you know, by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
So how do you think the church is doing now?
Well, I'm not in on any of the leadership or anything, but it seems like the finances are better. I hope they're better.
Mm-hmm.
I've been one of the people that's been really concerned about the, you know, about our finances and the
mm-hmm.
I'm lost for words, but
it seems like it's better than it has been.
I think it has
a little better.
Yeah, a little better. Yeah. That's from what I know.
Right.
From what I know.
It's my understanding
anyway.
That's churches are kind of work like that anyway.
Right. I guess they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well,
I think that. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
It's been
very valuable. You are have a wealth of information about this church, and I'm so happy that we're going to get that we get to record your memories.
Thank you.
Thank you for sitting down
with
me.
Okay.